Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the Feast of Tabernacles. And today we're going to cover point number 7 in the lessons that God wants us to learn from observing the Feast of Tabernacles. Of course, the first point was that the Feast of Tabernacles occurred on the 15th day of a month. The second point is that it was in the 7th month that the Feast of Tabernacles occurred. So it was in the 7th month, on the 15th day of that month. The Feast of Tabernacles, point number 3, lasted for 7 days. Point number 4, during the Feast of Tabernacles, people dwelt in tabernacles, and that was a temporary dwelling place. It was also called the Feast of Ingathering, and this is point number 5. Is that the feast was called the Feast of Ingathering because this was the time when the Israelites gathered in their harvest. Point number 6 is that this gathering of the harvest was supposed to teach them about the gathering of the nations. And now we're going to talk about point number 7. Point number 7 is the fact that after the nations have been gathered together to worship God, or at least to be in front of God in the form of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, they will finally learn that Jesus not only is God, but Jesus is their Lord and their Savior. Just like we have had to learn that God the Father has given Jesus the Christ to be our Lord and Savior. And thankfully, for the first fruits, we have already accepted by faith that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. But most people who have ever lived have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. But for the first time, the majority of people will have the opportunity, because God will be making the effort to draw people out of the world and give them an open mind and pour into their minds His Holy Spirit so that their natures can be changed from human nature to a divine nature because they accept by faith that Jesus is their personal Lord and their personal Savior. So really, the first 6 points lead up to the 7th point, which is that all of the people who are alive and remain after Christ's second coming during this 1,000 years will be taught that Jesus is the Lord, and they need to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. Now let's turn over to Zechariah chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 1 through 19. This is Zechariah chapter 14, and we'll read verses 1 through 19. This is going to show us that it's going to be difficult at first, because we're talking about people who have lived their whole lives in rebellion against God, or at least not accepting the God of the Bible and Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And in fact, again, lots of people being hostile against Christianity and the one true God. So it's going to be difficult at first after Jesus Christ returns to this earth to establish the kingdom of God. It's going to be difficult at first, and we're going to see this, but finally people will learn the lesson, because they're going to be, frankly, beat over the head a couple of times until it sinks in. God, in His love and mercy, will chastise people until they get to the point that He is Lord, that they are not the Lord, that He is Lord. So let's start reading in verse 1 of Zechariah chapter 14. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of Jesus the Christ when He comes." The spoil is going to be from war, and we're going to see this. It says, "For I, Jesus the Christ, will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." This is talking about the Battle of Armageddon, this final climactic battle at the end of the 6,000 years of human history. I understand that this earth is probably billions of years old, and the universe billions of years old, but mankind, created in God's image, has only been on the earth for 6,000 years. So at the end of the 6,000 years and at the beginning of the 7,000th year, there's going to be this great big climactic battle, which is called the Battle of Armageddon. And it says that actually Jesus the Christ is gathering all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And then, after this battle occurs, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in two. One part is going to go toward the east, the other part toward the west. There's going to be a great valley. And it says, the Lord my God shall come. Zechariah speaking, saying, the Lord my God shall come. And this Lord is speaking of Yeshua. So here where it says Lord, we understand that it should be Yahweh. Yahweh here is obviously one and the same as Yeshua. So this is kind of a side point, but for all of those people who are confused, let me say here that both God the Father and God the Son are named Yahweh. Okay? And Yahweh, in the form of God the Son, later became known as Yeshua the Messiah. So here where it's talking about Yahweh, my Elohim shall come, it's obviously referring to Yeshua, because Yeshua is the one who's going to fight against the nations and who's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. So it says, Yahweh, my God, who is Yeshua the Messiah, shall come, and all the saints shall come with him. That's all of us, all of the saints in the Old Testament, all the saints in the New Testament, all the saints that have died in the faith, all the saints who are alive and remain at the second coming of Christ will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. So the resurrected saints, along with those who are alive and changed in the twinkling of an eye, of course, we go up and meet Christ in the air. We have the marriage ceremony, probably in heaven before the Father, and then we come back to the earth, and we, along with Yeshua the Messiah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we who shall be the saints coming with him, who are also called kings and priests, we will all fight against the nations. And it says, it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. That's the Holy Spirit. And it says that the Lord shall be king over where? All of the earth. That's where the Lord is going to be reigning during the 1,000 years, is over the earth. Yeshua, Yahweh, shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Yahweh, one Lord, and his name shall be one, and his name shall be Yeshua the Messiah. But this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. That's a terrible thing that's going to happen. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, so all of the people that survived this terrible Battle of Armageddon, and then who survived the battle against Jesus the Christ himself, after all of that has occurred, those people who are alive, the physical people who have not yet accepted Yeshua as their Lord and Savior, all of those people, it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to do what? To keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. If the families of Egypt do not come up, they're not going to have any rain. It's going to happen the same thing to everybody that does not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So there you have it in Zechariah chapter 14 verses 1 through 19 that it says three times that people will be punished if they do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. That's how important it is. In those few verses, God says that he's going to punish people who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It is that important to get it into people's heads that they need to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And of course, all of God's other appointments. But he's just highlighting here the Feast of Tabernacles because this is the time of the gathering in of the nations, the harvesting of the nations. This is when God pours out his Holy Spirit. And for the first time, the majority of the people in the world shall have a chance at salvation. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles pictures, and that's why it's so important for people to keep it. Now, thankfully, after a while of keeping it, people will get the lesson. We can see this in Micah, the book of Micah, chapter 4, and verses 1 through 4. This is the book of Micah, one of the minor prophets, so-called. Chapter 4 and verses 1 through 4. Here it says, "But in the latter days it shall come to pass that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it, and many nations shall go and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the God of Jacob. And Yahweh will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Yahweh shall go forth from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples, and will decide concerning all of the nations. He'll decide all of the matters concerning them, how to live their lives, how to be governed. And one of the things that he's going to decide, and people will learn, is that they will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears shall be beat into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. In fact, they're going to learn the way of peace finally. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken it." And this part where it talks about every man sitting under his vine and under his fig tree, that harkens back to the time of Solomon, when Solomon was reigning over Israel. That was the time of the greatest peace and prosperity in Israel's history. So God is talking about this prophetically to bring people's minds back to that time, to say to them, that's how it's going to be in the future. Well, everybody will be at peace and everybody will have prosperity because everybody will be following the way of God. It will no longer be that the law is written on two tables of stone, but now, as the new covenant says, the law will be written in people's minds and in their hearts, so that people will love God with all of their heart and mind and soul. People will also be able to love their neighbors as themselves. And this is the beautiful, wonderful lesson that the Feast of Tabernacles teaches us, is that finally people will have eternal life, and people will have an eternal place to dwell. Well, thank you, my friends, for tuning in to this program. I hope you'll come back for our next program where we're going to summarize everything we talked about concerning the Feast of Tabernacles. And may God be in you.